Okay, Owen's good and awake, is he? There's a phenomenon with Owen that Russ was telling me. If he goes to bed late, he gets up extra early. But if he goes to bed early, he gets up later. So maybe somebody can explain that. But.
Remember that.
Praise God. Deuteronomy chapter 28. We're in the midst of just an amazing type of scene here, where there's two mountains that are surrounding the camp of Israel, and you have the people of Israel in between the mountains, and you have some people up on the mountain of blessing and some people up on the mountain of curses, and they're pronouncing the curses or blessing upon the people so they can learn and they can be educated in the things of God. And that's what it's talking about here in verse 1 of chapter 28. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken or listen, that's that intent listening, unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Praise the Lord. In verse 2 he continues, and all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So we talked a little bit about the curses last week, the one mountain shouting the curses, and the other mountain now shouting the blessing. So we're going to hear from that side of the mountain. The mountain of blessing is called Gerizim, and you can go and visit that today in Israel. The mountain of curses is called Ebal, and you can get a plane ticket and go visit that today. I don't know if they'll let you in Israel right at this time. Things are a little bit hot. But if you do have an opportunity to go to Israel, this is one of the places that you could possibly visit. And the amazing thing is, the miracle of today, is that mountain of curses is barren. It's granite. And there's graves dug into the base of it. The other one, Gerizim, the mountain of blessing, is lush and just filled with fruit. There's orchards. There's a spring there. It just continues to flow. It's like, wow, thousands of years ago, still something we can see today. That is amazing to me. So to observe to do involves listening intently. That special word, hearken. Hearken to me, Owen. Hearken unto me, Bree and Mindy and Tony. Listen. Listen diligently. Really tune in. So observing to do naturally is going to be a byproduct of listening diligently. It's like, man, you're zeroed in. And that's what discipleship is all about. We don't understand what discipleship is compared to the people of Israel. When they were following somebody, a teacher, a rabbi, they literally followed him. What is rabbi thinking about right now? Where's rabbi going? And really to get tuned in and diligently listening to God. And we're disciples of God. We're disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're just like his 12 disciples. We're following him wherever he went, dropping our nets and doing it. So far, we've talked about the curses. We're going to get more into the blessings now. I just want to review real quickly the things that we touched upon last week. I thought it was real convenient that Tony overslept last week, and again this week, it's his birthday. So I got to go over the sermon with him. And it had to do with the curses there. So I got to get into pirate mode and talk about curses as he was waking up there. And there were some other episodes that happened at that time too, to get the point across. But it was real good because they're real, riveting type of things that God wants to sink into us. So curses and blessings, we have two kingdoms. We have choices in our life. To take a hold of God's blessings, or to take a hold of what is there when the vacancy, the void, if we neglect God, the curses. The first one that we covered last week was making light of the parents, not listening to the parents, not honoring them. We talked about the vectors of love in the family. Do you remember what they were? Well, that one vector is a force with a direction. Is the child honoring the parent? That's the way the child loves the parent, is by honoring, respecting them. Listening to them not lightly or mocking them, lightly esteeming them or mocking them. So the other vectors of love we brought in real quick, the wife respecting the husband and the husband laying down his life, that's another vector of love, and what a powerful design God has made for the family. We went from family to neighbors, talking about the moving of the property mark, and talk about loving our neighbors as well. And then we move from there into the blind, the fatherless, and the widow, those that are in need of ministry. So all types of ministry, youth ministry, addiction ministry, single ministry, hospital ministries, the poor, the rich, marriage ministries. There's all sorts of people in need. We're in the human condition of being in need, so ministry is always available. Then we went to sexual purity, very specific things being mentioned there, grotesque things. And then we moved into murder, and we talked about that in the light of gossip, you know, being the thing that, well, it's not just on the news, it's happening in the church there. Can you imagine yourself being that picture up and you got caught gossiping, slamming your brother or sister in the Lord? So there we were talking about those things that are coming from the mountain of curses. We're going to get more into that, more specifics after the blessing here as we go along. Another interesting thing in review of last week is that when we hear the word of God, just like when Jesus taught it, he said, let's get in the boat and go to the other side. He wasn't making a suggestion. He wasn't going to say, well, we might get to the other side. He was giving his own words, the word of God. And they ran into trouble after the word of God came to them. How many of you had trouble after last week's teaching about these various things? About, you know, reaching out to that hand that bites you, even. You know, those type of things. And having difficulty and challenge. The word of God comes, and then the storm comes. And it tests our faith. And God grows us through that. So don't be surprised if God puts you in a storm after he gives you the word. He is powerful. He is mighty. And he wants you to use his word in that way. To trust in him. To not lean on your own understanding during those times. And really put the rubber to the road. Buying a lawnmower, folks, doesn't stop grass and weeds from growing. It just enables us to handle that lawn. So the word of God is given to us to handle situations. And so don't be surprised, it says several times in the Bible, if tribulation and trouble comes, it's like, whoa, I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to be under the wing of God and all these things. It says, no, these are things that are going to cause you to grow. Now to apply God's word, the lab experiment. Blessings are being talked about here, and blessings will come, but not just show up on the UPS truck necessarily. Your translation might miss the emphasis here. Reaching and overtaking you. Reaching and overtaking. The blessing shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken, listen intently to the word of God. To reach, to overtake, to take a hold upon. A great way to understand the blessings of God pursuing us. Have you ever been in the ocean playing wave tag and you got that wave coming? That wave of blessing is there to pursue you and overtake. Psalm 23 kind of talks about that. You think it's, well, they only read that when someone is 6 foot under. But no, there's more to it than that in Psalm 23. There's more to it than the valley of the shadow of death. It ends with, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's pursuing you. Goodness and mercy, well, there they are. They're pursuing me. It's like wave, you're playing wave tag. That thing's coming upon you. And it's going to overtake you. The blessings of God. Cool way to think about it. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. Some of the days, all of the days of his life and her life and not mine. No, your life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wow, what a wave that pursues each one of us in here. As we listen to God, when we hearken to God, intently listen to God. Let's just read the whole Psalm 23. Get the whole context of it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A very popular, and for good reason, psalm. Psalm 23. Let's continue in the word today. 28:3. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessings can come regardless of location. What might seem like a noisy, busy place filled with distractions, sometimes in the morning here, seems that way, be ready to be blessed anyway. What may seem like a remote and lonely place, be ready to be blessed there. The key is to walk in the Spirit and have your eyes open to the things of God. What are we looking for every day? What are our eyes searching for? I remember some folks, the Greeks actually, in John chapter 12, verse 20, there were certain Greeks, verse 20 of chapter 12, there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Oh, welcome to Calvary. Welcome to this, that, the other thing. We would see Jesus. Oh, great. Come on in. Who cares about the rest of the stuff? We would see Jesus. That's what we would hope for, would be the desire intent for everyone that enters the door, including myself, especially. We would see Jesus today. We would see Jesus through the teaching. We would see Jesus in the worship. We would see Jesus in the fellowship. Praise God. We would see Jesus. Having our eyes open. Regardless of location, we would see Jesus. Verse 4, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. You know, your body had fruit, did it? And the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, increase of thy kine, that's cows, and the flocks of thy sheep. The fruit of thy body, in this context here, is talking about children. Fruit of the ground and livestock would be probably equated to our employment today, of course. Often one blessing washes into another, supports other blessings. They just kind of build up and continue to snowball. A blessed employment enables me to bless the family. A blessed family is a resource of strength for me to be successful and blessed in employment. And it works together, doesn't it? How sad it is the man or woman that has to stop for a stiff drink before facing the battleground of the home. We see an issue at home or work. We need to troubleshoot it. When we see an issue at home or work, we need to troubleshoot it in the light of verse 1. That's that intent, hearkening, that listening, observing His word to do it. We have the manual for the issues, don't we? We need to get to the root of the matter, and we have the manual to do so. What in our life isn't yielded over to the Lord? When the men just finished the book of James, we're in Mark right now, and it continually kept coming up as we're in James. It's like, boy, it feels like we're on the examination table. Very specific. It's like very pointed. Examples, can't get away from it. It's like, wow, you feel like this real bright light upon you, but it's a light that's a good light. We want to be examined by the Lord. Communion table is about that too. The Lord wants us to be examined before we approach the communion table. We don't just come haphazardly up to the communion table and, okay, this is a ritual in the church. No! Never that is that a ritual. In fact, there's curses that could come with that if it becomes something like that. If it's taken lightly. Paul said there's many sick among you and some gone to sleep even because they were taken unworthily. They were drunk even at the table, the Corinthians. But there's other forms of unworthiness. You know, just taking it as common. It's one of the top commandments. Taking God as something as common. As common as everyday stuff. He's not common. Allow yourself to be examined. What's the solution? What's the answer? He says, be examined. be examined. Humble yourselves before the Word of God. It is a bright light sometimes, and sometimes it's a little bit too bright. But we need to allow that light to do its work. And communion is all about that. Our Sundays, our Tuesdays and Wednesdays, in fact, our Saturday nights are all about that. Not to take the things of God lightly. Getting to the root of family and employment, job issues and life issues. Getting to the root of issues. I need to come under the light of His Word. Not to take those things lightly. Not to take His Word lightly. Not to take fellowship lightly. There are going to be issues that come from being in this world that affect all of us. And there's issues that are going to come directly also from not putting God first. Some things are out of our control and things happen in this world. Some things are in our control and they are a direct result of not putting God first. When we look at more of the negative side of things, the mountain of curses, we'll see more very specific examples of what we're talking about there. But we do wonder sometimes, is this issue in my life something because of the neglect of God, or just something from being in this world and these two kingdoms that are colliding and all the mess that there is? I think that's an okay question to ask. Not to be condemned as a result, but to address it, to fix and repair it. Never troubleshoot problems in the context of making a person the problem. The idea of condemning a person is okay, that person's bad. They're junk. Work on issues rather with the you removed or that person removed. Bad fruit in someone's life can be exhibited. There's no question about it. People can behave badly. But it's because of a bad root. We need to work on root issues. A root issue is putting things ahead of God. One very important root issue is putting things ahead of God. And sometimes good things. We think they are good. You know, they might sound good. Might be something to do with family. Might be something to do with whatever. But is it what God is showing us to do? Is it putting Him first? Are we pleasing God or is it pleasing everyone else? Well, this will keep everyone happy if I do this or do that. A root issue can be putting things ahead of God. Very significant root issue. I brought an example of that. The part that's visible that we always try to tackle is that. The visible part that's above the ground. We see that and say, oh, okay, we're starting to work on this. Work on that, we see the fruit, the leaves, and all these things, and then we don't realize really the issue is down here, is the root. You guys can't see that, it'll be a bigger one. It's the invisible part that needs to be addressed. The invisible part in people's life. What's the priority first thing in the morning? Those parts that we don't see in someone's life. We tend to see this stuff. And, you know, we get, okay, we get rid of that, help you fix up, brother, and we still got root issues down here. This is where the focus needs to be. Need to volunteer to clean that up. They keep getting bigger. And we can look like, wow, man, that's overwhelming, this issue in someone's life. And it's so overwhelming, it's like, that's all it's about. We keep thinking we're going to work on that, and we're working on it. The real problem is down here, where the roots are. Got one more picture. In verse 5, blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. I remember once I was a brother before the church started here in Port Byron. A brother was praying with me about the new ministry and starting a new work in Port Byron. And as he was praying, he had a vision of an empty basket. So he got his wallet out. I was like, oh boy, wow. Empty basket. God's desire, moved in the Holy Spirit to fill that basket. And that's the kind of God that we worship. It's not a half-filled basket, but a filled basket, overflowing. The blessing of the the loaves and the fishes. You know, they kept coming and kept coming. They were so filled, and then there was stuff left over. That's the kind of God we serve and love. Provision. What we have in store, resources. We do have an awesome God, a powerful God, a mighty God. In fact, He wants to bless us in our coming in and our going out. In verse 6, blessed shall thou be when thou comes in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goes out. Well, that covers it, doesn't it? That's a good verse to put over your doorway, entrance to your home. Do you limit the work of God or His blessings to specific locations? When someone says, how was your day at work? Or how was your week? I already gave it away. How was your week? Do you immediately think, what do you think about? Do you think about work? How church was? Or how the home is going? What do you think about? It says something. God wants to bless all of those areas. All of those areas should be a concern to us. To be having our eyes open, to be hearing intently, God, where do you want us to change things in these areas of our lives? So blessing on the in and coming out everywhere. Our enemies even. In verse 7, the Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. A good prayer to pray over someone, you're praying for deliverance. That the enemy just flee in seven different directions. And part of the Word of God allows you to do that. And it's authority of Jesus Christ, of course, that we stand in when we're dealing with those things. The enemy flee in seven different ways. Good verse to just pray over someone that is being afflicted by the evil one. That's quite a defeat. I mean, the emphasis here is that that is a major defeat. They left completely disorganized and confused and basically in survival mode, scrambled. The Bible addresses enemies in this era of time. In this time frame especially, there were national enemies. And we have those, of course, quite clearly. It's hard not to see the watch the news without knowing that. But we need to know ultimately that it is not people, but truly our enemy is the evil trinity of the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world meaning its ways. The flesh and the devil. More blessings. In verse 8, the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. There's the idea of the golden touch there. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God gives thee. Everything you touch is blessed. Every project, large and small, every prayer, every minute, everything. You can even watch Shrek with your kids and then discover the grace of God in there and relate it to your kids. You are in the flow. Life with God is a flow. It is not a flow that stops. It is that we step out of it as followers of Christ, of course. We stop looking through the eyes of the new creature and stop listening with the ears of the new creature. And we get our eyes on circumstances, or we get our eyes on the stem and the fruit on people instead of the root issue when dealing with issues. We need to approach our prayer life with that idea here, that everything is going to be blessed by God. Why wouldn't we pray with that attitude? We're praying in defeat if we don't. We need to approach every day like that, in fact. That God is going to bless everything that I touch. Wow, that sounds pretty bold. Yeah. You're walking in the Spirit. You're listening to God. He's going to bless everything that you touch. No matter the outcome of it, you need to believe that. I need to see the things that are not as though they are. Faith causes me to look at everything differently. Grace causes the power of God to work through these things that I'm looking at differently. And to believe that He's going to work together. The good for those that love Him. For those that love Him. I shouldn't leave this first love. We shouldn't leave this first love that we have for anything else. Sometimes church and ministry and family can be wonderful, and it is. But should it ever replace that first love that we have with God? It can't, and it shouldn't. How are you doing in that area? You're on the examination table with me today. We're all laying there. It's a big surgeon's table, and the lights are bright. How are you with your first love? Your devotion, your desire to pursue God, your desire to intently listen. What are the thoughts of the master right now, the rabbi? Where's he going? How's he going to respond? Talk about a root issue. That can be a root issue as well, that first love. First love is a root issue. Firmly grounded in the love of God. Rooted and grounded in the love of God, it speaks of in the letters of Paul, a few different places. It's a root issue when we leave that love. We think it's a fruit issue. Well, I'll show my love to God sometimes and bear some fruit. Really, it's a root issue. It's something that you never leave. You're tapped into the love of God all the time. That's a root issue. We need to start our day with that. We need to start our day with that. And we can believe in that. Everything will be blessed that we touch that day. No matter what it looks like, it's been blessed by God.
Good thing for the examination table. It's all about roots in the table of communion. It's all about root. It's a root time. Very rooty.
And 9 through 10, getting back to the heart of God. We talked about this a few weeks ago. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Having that respect from other people, knowing that, wow, that person walks with God. That's an awesome thing. That's a promise. That's a blessing. To have respect from people that, hey, that's a godly man, that's a godly woman, to have that respect, to see the power of God in someone's life. This might tweak a memory as we were in here, and I see the heart of God. Remember reading the Word of God and listening for the heart of God, as John the disciple did, his head on the heart of Jesus, listening, can hear the beat of the Lord. My goodness, what an awesome thing. When we're in the Word of God, it's effectively doing the same thing. Listening for the heart of God in this matter. Not listening, okay, what do I need to do? What's up with, Lord, what are you really saying here? What's the heart of the matter here? And this one right here, there's that thread of sadness that I talked about. The Bible is filled with joy and rejoicing, but there's this thread of sadness throughout the whole thing. That the whole thing boils down to this. That we'd be a holy people unto himself. That he would be our God and we'd be his people. The whole thread through there, the rejection, the rebellion, all of this stuff going on, the backsliding, the turning our backs, the prone to wander stuff, the dryness, the whatever, it all comes down to that. Why did you leave me? Why did you leave your first love? Why are you so busy doing everything but you've neglected the weightier matters of the law, the heart of God? Blessings will flow as we listen intently and we hearken as we're in the Word of God. I believe that the desire is also in me as a parent, and God placed that in me, that I would care more about my kids than even my own physical life. I care about my wife than my own physical life. And we can see that just by looking at Jesus on the cross and hearing the heart of God through the passion events as we read them in the Scripture. Looking at God in the flesh hanging on the cross, you see he cares about his kids more than even his own life. There's a desire to bless and love them. It's not about a power trip. If you see a power trip on the cross, you need a new pair of glasses. You can be one of those guys in the stands, those obnoxious people that say the ref, get a new pair of glasses. You can say that to your brothers and sisters. Time for a new pair of glasses. The guy's just on a power trip. He's just making me, just wants to do this or put me under his thumb or whatever, condemn me. No, that's the other side of the equation. That's the kingdom of Satan. Put on the glasses that God has given you, the new pair of eyes as a new creature, and understand who he is.
11 through 14. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto the fathers to give thee. I wish I did bring vegetables today. That would have been good. Ran out of time. Was picking weeds, as you could see. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give rain unto the land in his season, and to bless all the work of thy hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations. Now moving into a national idea here. And thou shalt not borrow. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou hearken unto the commands of the Lord thy God, which I command this day to observe and to do them. How sad it is to be living in a day and age when I saw on the news, time after time, the Ten Commandments being wheeled out of courtrooms on a dolly. That's not hearkening to the commands of the Lord. So we live in a nation that is going in that other direction, of course. So bringing into the national blessings and national promises, being a lender versus a borrower, that's one of the effects, and you know where we're at with that. Our debt is incredible. Being the head and not the tail. All right, we're losing our position that we once had. A horse has two ends, and we get to pick which end. Basically being told us here. These are conditional promises on listening to the Word of God, listening and obeying. The reality of blessing and cursing is it's all or nothing. The reality is you are on one mountain or the other. Now we see the flow from the other mountain of blessing here. But lest we forget, more details on the other side of the coin here. And there's a whole bunch. And we'll get a little bit done and then we'll take some communion here. So back to the other side of the coin. What's it like not following God? What's it like putting other things first? Cursing and vexation and rebuke. Sounds like a good topic. 15 through 20. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. So just like blessings overtaking you, it's like, you think you're outrunning the other thing. It's like, well, I'm getting away with this. I'm getting away with this, you know, playing around and flirting with this thing or that thing. And all of a sudden it overtakes you and you're a servant of that thing, whatever it is, alcohol, sex, you want, you name it. Those are the big ones that we're familiar with. Three things mentioned here: cursing, vexation, and rebuke. The Lord shall send upon, overtaking thee. I got to keep moving here. I missed a verse. 16, carrying on. Cursed shall thou be in thy city, and cursed shall thou be in thy field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. You notice these things are just the opposite of what we just read. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy cows and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shall thou be when thou comes in, and cursed shall thou be when thou goes out. And that's really overtaking you. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke. I don't want any three of those. And in all thou settest thine hand unto, just the opposite of what we just read in the blessing, until thou be destroyed, until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. Again, a root issue, forsaking God. Cursing, vexation, and rebuke. It sounds like a call to the principal's office. You know, kind of that's what's in mind when you're headed there. At least the old school. I don't know what they do today. This is the old covenant of blessings and curses. We need to remember that. It's based on man's performance. This is where we're at here in Deuteronomy. Verse 15, if you will not listen to observe to do. It's based on your performance. We raise our children in a similar way. We call them rewards and consequences, rewards and punishment. We train pets the same way. Some of you got to go to see SeaWorld or maybe saw it on TV, the seal being rewarded immediately after they do that trick. I mean, they give them a lot of fish throughout that show, whatever they're training, whatever pet it is. This is a relationship of sorts you can think of, being a trainer and the seal in that example, or a parent and a child, a God and man, the old covenant here. But this relationship never goes beyond the flesh. It's flesh deep, you could say. If this is the extent of our relationship with God, or anyone for that matter, we have what would be described as a works-based relationship, or a performance-based one. The tragic thing is, if this is indeed our relationship with God, and some people that are professing grace still live under this and they don't even know it, we are rejecting something much better. In fact, something that actually does work, and that's the gospel of grace. Does the gospel of grace take away listening intently and observing to do in obedience to God? Mm-mm, not at all. It enables us to. It empowers us to. It reaches beyond the flesh. So it's no longer a works-based thing in the flesh, things external. Does it change the holiness of God, this gospel of grace? No, he's still very much who he is on all of these matters and issues. So what changed? Where we fall short, which we all do, it doesn't result in curses and punishment, but it is covered by God. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In fact, if we say we have not sinned, he continues to say, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So it's a daily reality for us to live in this grace of God, where instead of, okay, now we've got to deal with the consequence, we go to God and ask forgiveness. And we're empowered and we're forgiven. And we're strengthened for the road ahead. Why should we read these things now? Why should we read the old covenant of blessings and curses? For one, we can appreciate this grace. And we can really go for it. We can tell others about it. We can enjoy it. We can live it. We can appreciate grace more. So a greater appreciation for grace. Remember Ezekiel's vision. He walked into the water. God was calling him out in a vision, first to his ankles, and okay, that's far enough. No, it isn't. God said, no, come on. More. More. Further. Well, not more than this. My knees and hips. Man, more. More. All the way. All the way in. And the gospel of grace is always pulling us in. The blessing and curses, the performance thing, is always like pushing us back out. Okay, failed again, right? Leaving us in a place of desolation. The aspect that we do need to talk about, there is discipline in the Word of God. There's discipline in our life with God in the gospel of grace. And we call it chastening. We don't call it curses. Chastening of God versus the curses of God is something to be compared to. So we understand, we can look at these two things and help us understand what chastening means more, because that applies to us. And it's just not playing with words, of course. These are real things. Now let's read a little bit more and we'll talk about that. This is a very long chapter about the results of the curses and vexations and rebuke, and specifically what that means. A lot of details. A lot of details in our lives as a result of not following God, not putting him first, our relationship with God. 21 through 23. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he has consumed thee off the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption and with a fever and with an inflammation and with an extreme burning and with a sword and with blasting and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. You get the idea here. That we need to appreciate grace. Anybody get that idea here? I do. All right, so I'm not going to take grace lightly. I'm not going to take this communion table lightly when I understand the consequences of my sin, and the reality of it is right here. I'm looking at it. It's very, very extreme, but it's very fair. It's very right. It seems extreme to me, but it's right in the economy of God. You'll notice that these rebukes and vexations have to do with external things. Our health, our wealth, our success, our jobs, our work, our cultural being mentioned here, that was most of their work. What the difference is now as the focus shifts into relationships. Instead of rewards and punishment, it's more about the relationship itself, the health of that, than external things being affected. Verse 23 makes me think of that. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under it shall be iron. Of course, the farmer, when he hears that, doesn't want to hear that. It means it's not giving up any rain and your ground is like concrete. But to me, it speaks of relationship. And the heaven is like brass, and the ground is firm. Like nothing's happening on the earth. I look at the heaven, and it's like solid brass. I mean, no prayer seemed to be going anywhere. So I think of relationship then, my relationship with God. So a lot of these things that are external, now we can look at in the context of our relationship with God. It's a good thing to look at these verses today in the context of that, to distinguish that it's not about works or external things, but it really is about relationships with God and with others. This particular fellow, as an example, understood that brass heaven and iron ground. Listen to these words. This comes from Keith Green. Very small, short song. My eyes are dry, my faith is old. Think about the brass heaven and the hard ground here. My heart is hard, my prayers are cold. And I know how I ought to be, alive to you and dead to me. Oh, what can be done for an old heart like mine? Soften it up with oil and wine. The oil is you, your spirit of love. Please wash me anew in the wine of your blood. My eyes are dry, my faith is old. My heart is hard, my prayers are cold. And I know how I ought to be, alive to you and dead to me. Oh, what can be done with an old heart like mine? Soften it up with oil and wine. The oil is you, your spirit of love. Okay, preacher, I'm starting to understand. So tell me more about the differences between curses and chastening. I will next week. Praise God. We need to get to communion. So let's call our other folks forward, please. Praise God. The communion table is all about calibration. We have our cars get inspected, and it's an annual thing. If you don't get your car inspected, then that's it. We know things happen. Things fall apart, things break, lights come on, and we know that there's going to be a cost sometimes. And the cost for you is to be honest before God and to humble yourself. Completely and totally honest before God. Ask the Lord this morning to examine your root in particular, your first love. What are you putting before Him? What are you putting before God? Where is the status of your first love? So significant. We try to bear fruit without a root like that. You'll be coming up with kumquats that are shriveled up. You won't have anything. Lord, help us to understand that. Lord, I am just, right now, I am in awe of you, Lord, and your power and your presence, and want to know, Lord God, what is before me that is not you? What am I putting ahead, Lord God? What am I putting ahead, Lord Jesus, that is not you? Examine the roots of my life, Lord God, so I may bear fruit unto your glory. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now it's time, if anyone would like to share anything about thoughts from Matthew 25, a testimony about that, or thoughts, or even a prayer concern, you know, you can ask for prayer about that. How about a reader to start us off who could read Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, until it says, enter into the joy of the Lord.
Okay, last Sunday I asked you to kind of meditate on that particular parable. In particular, in that parable, the part that he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Think about that at the end of the day, and then to rise in the morning and do the verse eaves, of course, but before you lay down and think about it. So I think I did most of the days. I know I missed a few, you know, having that particular thought in my head. But at this time, I'd like you to, if anybody would like to share about that, what they thought of or whatever, this is a good time to do that.
Well, it certainly isn't a challenge that I would want to just let go of for this communion, but I encourage everyone to keep going forward with, you know, to end your day with that thought. Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. If the end of your day was the end of all your days. It is that scale model for our whole life. We're born into that new day, we trudge through it, lots of things happen, and then we lay down. $1 million is no good if we're all play money, if we're all phony. Your life is made up of a million days or a lot more. If they're all phony, then the sum of it is the same. So it's a good thing to think of it that way. You treat each day as if it was its own life. praise you, Lord. Good prayer to leave off with. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Draw me in deeper, Lord God. Not ankle deep, knee or waist, all the way under, Lord God. So I'm fully experiencing your grace as working through me and to others. Praise you, Lord, for this time we've had together, Lord. Help us to go forth in power and in love, Lord God. Help us to meet you at the end of the day, Lord Jesus, and realize that you have been carrying us all the way through. Help us to acknowledge you through each moment of the day, Lord God. You are powerful. You have just made us clean, but because your word spoke it. We are all clean in here. We are a clean slate, Lord God. We are your children, not by our works, but yours. We praise you, Lord God, for the declaration that we enjoy the blessings from heaven because of you. We are adopted by you, Lord God. We are loved by you, Lord Jesus Christ, not based on anything we've done, just by your graces, Lord. Help us discover the riches and the manifold presence of your grace in our lives, Lord. Help us love each other as a church and be effective in this community, in our lives and families, Lord. Go before us, Lord God. Open our eyes to your work. Amen.
Still, we keep the